Our study tonight is out of Leviticus chapter 26. We'll summarizing verses 1 through 3 and then 23 to 26. Learning to heed God at the fourth level of His discipline. We're going through a series here in which I give the same introduction. God is a gracious God, but He's also a consuming fire, according to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. And that's a fascinating statement for the New Testament, because normally people think of the God of judgment as the God of the Old Testament. But the New Testament God is equally a God who is a consuming fire. He's to be respected. He's to be obeyed. So after God has repeatedly disciplined us for sin, but we still incessantly fail to heed Him, though He is gracious, God will vastly intensify His discipline much more, urging us thereby to repent. And that's what this passage is about. So we have before learned that Leviticus chapter 26 is written in a vassal treaty format with a section on blessings for obedience and an extended section on cursings for disobedience. We thus learn that heeding the law would bring rain and rich harvests in verses 3 through 5 of the chapter, peace and dominance over foes, verses 6 through 10, and the gift of God's presence in verses 11 through 13. Now likewise, there would be extended divine discipline for disobedience, verses 14 to 39, where God would bring five increasingly painful levels of discipline for continued disobedience. Dr. J. Vernon McGee has a whole series of books which were printed up off of his radio ministry through the Bible ministry years ago before he went home to be with the Lord. And he points this out, these five levels of discipline in his book on Leviticus. Now, tonight we're going to view the fourth level of discipline, fourth out of five, in verses 23 to 26. Let me read the passage and then we'll look at it. Verse 23, "And if you will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary to me, then I will also walk contrary to you, and will punish you yet sevenfold for your sins. And I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when you are gathered together within your cities, I will send the disease among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of their enemy. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied." In other words, so scarce would be the bread that even one oven would suffice to bake the bread for 10 different families. That's the picture. So that's pretty lean pickings. Well, God warned then that if Israel increasingly kept failing to heed Him as the fourth level of discipline, He would be hostile towards them sevenfold, bringing a sword against them where they would come under siege and suffer disease, be taken captive, and suffer hunger. Well, there are samples of this that we have in Judah's fall to Babylon, as testified in the prophecy of Jeremiah 9, 13 to 24, and we'll look at that in a little bit. And the other is a testimony by the people themselves who had been taken captive. Psalm 137 is very interesting. It's one of the rare glimpses that we have of people who actually went through the siege and the captivity. And they give their own testimony as to what happened when they got to Babylon. And they express the tremendous sufferings that they went through. And so we're going to look at both of these. We're going to look at Jeremiah's passage, where Jeremiah predicted what was just about to happen. Then we'll look at Psalm 137, the testimony of the people who had already gone through it. And there are some very interesting lessons in reference to God's discipline. First of all, Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 13 to 24. Let me read the passage, and then we'll look in depth at what happens here. And Jeremiah is predicting what is about to happen to the people. "And the Lord said, because they have forsaken my law which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after the Baals which their fathers taught them, therefore thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them gall, the water of gall, to drink. I will scatter them also among the Gentiles, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, and I will send a sword after them until I have consumed them. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider and call for the mourning women, that they may come. Send for skillful women, that they may come. And let them make haste and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may run down with tears and our eyelids gush out with waters. For a voice of wailing is heard out of Zion. How we are spoiled! We are greatly confounded because we have forsaken the land, because our dwellings have cast us out. Yet hear the word of the Lord, O you women, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth, and teach your daughters wailing, and everyone, her neighbor, lamentation. For death has come upon to our windows, and has entered into our palaces, to cut off the children from outside and the young men in the streets. Speak, thus says the Lord, even the bodies of them that fall as dung upon the earth in the open field, and as the handful after the harvest, none shall bury them. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, but let not the rich man glory in his wealth, but let him that glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loyal love, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. A tremendous passage. Jeremiah announced God's charge against Judah, forsaking his law to walk in their own ways, to practice Baal worship, and to trust in human might and wealth opposite God. So several indictments here. They were going after their own ways. And boy, that's rampant today. People just do their own thing. I saw a bumper sticker on a truck the other, it's been a year or so ago. It says, rebel against authority. That was the sticker, rebel against authority. Wow, that's incredibly unbiblical. But here the person was actually promoting the idea. Well, rebelling against authority, doing your own thing, practicing Baal worship, this is false worship, and this is increasingly happening, to trust in human might and human wealth versus the Lord. Now, consequently, God promised hard times, that Judah would be fed bitter wormwood and poisoned water, figuratively, for intense suffering. And specifically, they would be scattered by the invading Babylonians, they would be chased by their soldiers until they were consumed as a fighting force, and then they would be taken captive. So this is pretty scary. They're going to be running, they're going to be fleeing for their lives, the soldiers go after them, destroy them, until eventually they're captured. And then the enemy can do with them whatever they want. The Babylonians were known as being really rough. They were a very brutal group. Now, as a result, their women would mourn with eyes that would gush out with tears. They would grieve over the death that has come upon the child and the young man alike, with no one to bury the men. So you've got a horrible situation here. They've got death with the little children, death with the young men, death with the men. The men, the bodies were so big they couldn't bury them. And so there's a tremendous distress here. Consequently, God called for his people not to glory in their own wisdom or in false gods or in human might or wealth. They were to glory in what God delights in, understanding and knowing him who exercises loyal love, judgment, and righteousness. See, if people get to the point where they just plumb forget God long enough and just keep doing these other things, eventually the hammer falls. And when it falls, it's extremely severe. I mean, if we have continually and incessantly rebelled against the Lord, rebelled against the Lord, rebelled against the Lord, the Lord just turns the heat up and he keeps going. He won't stop. He really wants his people to pay attention to him. Okay, the next passage that we need to look at is the testimony of the people themselves after they had gone through, the Babylonian captivity. They had been taken, 700, 800 miles across the plains, down the river, and they finally reached Babylon, and then they had this psalm. And I'd like to read the psalm, Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us, or they that tormented us, of mirth, saying, sing one of the songs of Zion. Here the picture is, they're trying to say, we want to hear you guys sing a happy song. And they laugh and laugh and laugh. And so this is a torment. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? And then verse 5, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her skill. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it even to the foundation thereof. We'll see what this means in a little bit. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewards you as you have served us. Happy shall he be that takes and dashes your little ones against the stones. Okay, this is pretty intense, but I want to share what's going on here. After the captives from Judah had arrived in the city of Babylon, they sat down and they wept, recalling their city of Zion that now lay in ruins behind them. See, what happened is God had destroyed their home behind them. They had lived there for centuries. The temple is destroyed. The walls are destroyed. Nobody can live there. And they're just remembering the way it had been. But they can't go back. It's over for them, at least for 70 years. And they're into captivity. Their Babylonian captors mentally tormented them, calling for songs of joyful worship once they knew in the temple of God. A torment to which they could only respond by hanging their harps on the willow branches that lined the river in Babylon. It's a terrible thing. All these people can do is weep when they remember. But notice what happens. The captives began to strengthen their resolve to love Jerusalem. It's too bad that God had to take them to this extent, to the point where they missed their homeland, to the point where they would begin to think very seriously about making a commitment to God. But if it takes this, God says, fine, we'll go this route. And there they asked for God's vengeance on the Edomites who helped Babylon harm them. We know from other passages that the Edomites were the descendants of Esau. And when they saw the Babylonians defeating the people of Israel, they actually helped the Babylonians. And as the people of Israel tried to escape, they actually tried to cut them off as they were coming through some of the gates. So they asked that God would take care of that. In fact, in the book of Obadiah, we find that God does exercise judgment on the Edomites because of this. Also, they urged the Lord to destroy the Babylonians for slaying their infants so brutally. They would actually pick the infant up by the feet, swing it around until the head would hit a stone and so forth. And this is something that the Babylonians would do. They actually take the babies out of the mother's arms and so forth. This would have been incredibly traumatic for the mother, for the rest of the family, the other children, and have been absolutely demoralizing for this to occur. But the Babylonians were, you know, they didn't have a bone of humanism within them at all. They could care less. These are just, they were like cattle. They were just like animals as far as they were concerned. But the intense suffering of the wayward people of God and their fall to Babylon and their ensuing captivity began the long process of repentance and a rededication to God needed for them to stay true to Him. You know, there's a tremendous lesson within this. Would to God that we would never experience something like this. But we can learn. God will not stop even at allowing His people to experience this traumatic a series of events if it takes that to get them to repent. So the point is, as soon as we see that we're in the wrong, we need to repent ASAP, as soon as possible. We don't put it off because we're dealing with a God who cannot tolerate sin. So when Israel incessantly kept disobeying God, even after increasing disciplines by Him, He caused them to suffer great trials and war and siege and captivity that they might return in earnest to the Lord. So may this record of Israel's discipline spur us to abandon relying on pagan, man-based beliefs and on human might and human wealth that we might humbly cleave to the Lord. I see this as a tremendous call and a tremendous challenge. And when I see a passage like this, it causes me to stop and think, okay, Don, where are you? Are you going your own way versus the Lord's? Are you allowing yourself to get sucked in even to the slightest ways to something that might be of an errant view? Are you relying on your own might or on human wealth or money or something other than the Lord? Because if you are, you're in trouble. And that this is an opportunity to repent and to get right with the Lord.